'Tis the season where everyone here at Nombro get together, cuddle up near the fire, and talk about trailers. It's a trailer dump.
A very non-pro trailer dump.
A very non-pro trailer dump with almost no seasonal movies, as is good. Good.
Mm. Well, we ran out of our seasonal movies during Thanksgiving, so it's fine.
That's true.
Plus, there's no point in doing trailers for seasonal movies right now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because 'tis the season already.
Yeah, you're in the middle of the season. Okay, I'm convinced, guys. Thanks.
You're welcome,
Frank. And I'm joined by everybody else. Pete and James and Al and Pope. Everybody else. Literally everybody else. Ken, we hardly knew you. we'll give our Ken review during a random trailer. Give our Ken's opinion, possibly during that one horror movie that managed to make it through.
I think it looks great.
No, that's too positive for Ken. It's more like,
it looks pretty good.
Why?
I guess.
All right.
I think
I guess let's go through. You know what? Let's spend the entire episode doing every single Secret Life of Pets trailer that is out right now.
Okay.
Yeah?
No.
Sounds good.
All right. Did we actually see any of them?
Yeah, I did.
I saw the Snowball one.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say about it.
Snowball one in theaters.
Yeah, right. Movie that's coming out.
Like, I feel like they each have like one good moment that'll give you a slight chuckle, and the rest of it's like, all right, cool. Are we on the next one yet?
Did anybody see the first movie?
I didn't even see the first movie.
Yeah, I did.
I've heard it was good things from children. Children told me that. Children I am related to, creepy.
It was the less good animal movie that came out at that point, because right next to Zootopia.
Yeah, that
was. And Zootopia is like the number 8 grossing movie of all time now.
Oh.
Wow, that's. Huh.
Take your children. See Pets too.
Oh, I thought you were saying thank you, children, but with a weird accent. Thank you, children. Thank you, children. Thank you so much.
Thank you, children.
All right. Nope. This is off to a terrible start. Let's discuss what movies we want to talk about beforehand. Destroyer?
I don't get what that movie's about.
I've heard good things, and Nicole Kidman looks awesome in it. Like, it is interesting. I don't want to add
that. All right, that's our review, then.
She does look really cool. I'll definitely give it that, but I'm like, I'm really grasping. Like, someone told me that it was the, like,
oh god,
the mother version of Taken.
That's kind of the impression I got from, like, previous trailers. But this, the most recent trailer they released is obviously talking about her recent Globe nom for the movie and stuff. So
explain to me what the mother version of Taken is. I was going to skip this movie entirely, but now I need to know. What is the mother version of Taken? Anyone
instead of Liam Neeson
as a woman.
No, it's Liam Neeson's character, except instead of the father, it's the mother.
All right.
And then they have to go and, you know, get their kid back.
Are there
by
any
necessary?
Other... I don't answer this in a 2018 politically correct way. Answer with your heart. What are the differences? What are the differences between Mom Taken and Dad Taken?
Liam Neeson has breasts.
All right, follow-up question. Are you suggesting Liam Neeson has breasts? Or are you saying that in the mom version, it would be Liam Neeson with breasts?
Yeah, we should have Liam.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It would essentially be Mr. Mom.
I think
with the kids being kidnapped.
Yeah. Well, that was my spec script for the Mr. Mom too. So
that eventually got it made into the Vin Diesel vehicle, The Babysitter.
Yes, I remember that distinctly. I would say that Mom Taken should be more passive aggressive and more like notes on the refrigerator type. Like, instead of the phone call, I will find you. They were all like written as notes that would be posted on the bad guy's refrigerator. I don't know how to fill that.
Well, but I mean, that would be terrifying though, because theoretically, like, how did those notes get here?
Right. No.
Does she already know? Why hasn't she taken her kid back?
All right. I support this. This is not a review. Not even is this not a review of the movie Destroyer, which is apparently gonna get awards.
It's like a 10.
Yeah, but this is not even a review of the trailer for Destroyer anymore.
Absolutely not
we
indicative
have
of
totally
it.
Lost all concept of anything we're doing here. Lego Movie 2!
Yay!
All right, yeah, Lego Movie 2. I saw the original trailer for Lego Movie 2 a couple of weeks ago, months ago? It feels like it's been out for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I don't like that one. Mm-hmm. I don't like this new trailer.
I feel like this trailer focuses on a lot of the things that I kind of find least interesting about the Lego Movie 2's concept. I liked the stuff in the original trailer that was kind of like poking holes in the, you know, the kind of the stuff that was wrong or maybe not as stellar about the first movie and, you know, kind of taking their characters out of their comfort zones. And
yeah.
That was cool. And this this entire trailer, as much as I love Chris Pratt, I don't know, just kind of seemed like a Chris Pratt highlight trailer.
Yeah, that was Chris Pratt talking to Chris Pratt, right?
Yeah, but the thing that got me was he made fun of himself. Like the second Chris Pratt was making fun of real Chris Pratt with all of his roles and stuff like that. And I feel like they took that out, and they took out everything else that I enjoyed about the first trailer.
Yeah, so this trailer, believe it or not, I can't believe we're doing this, but this trailer really makes me wonder whether or not the magic's gone for the Lego Movie. That was a surprise hit for me. Lego Movie, I was like, oh, all right, I'll see this. And it was surprisingly good and poignant and interesting. And that the first trailer I saw for Lego Movie 2, I was like, they are owning the fact that for some reason Wildstyle isn't a special. She was a secondary character, even though she had all the... Like, she was really the most powerful person in that first movie. I thought it had promise. This one makes me feel like, are they just going to paint by numbers this? I don't know if you could do it. I don't know if you could capture that magic again with Lego Movie 2. Electric Boogaloo. Sorry, I have to say it.
It's tough. I mean, something to always remember is that the people who make the trailers aren't necessarily the people who make the movies. You know, sometimes they get input, but sometimes they don't. You know, so you could say, like, the directors had maybe input on that first trailer or their second trailer, but then Sony was like, hey, we need more Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt's popular. Give us a quick cut, something with Chris Pratt in it.
Well, stop hypotheticalizing and defending this made-up trailer company that you don't know if they're... Maybe they're doing their jobs. I don't know.
I mean, I would say it's entirely possible that the Chris Pratt hanging out with Chris Pratt stuff is going to wind up being like a side adventure. Like, we're sort of like, this is sort of the stuff going on that's the journey to the plot, but the plot is happening outside of the Chris Pratt's hanging out, where it's slowly but surely, like, both of those characters learning a lesson while, like, everyone else is doing the relevant things.
I cannot hear the word Chris Pratt anymore. So let's move on to the next one.
Oliver Platt.
No, I'm good with that. It's fine. It's fine. Godzilla King of Monsters.
Oliver Platt.
Starring Oliver Platt.
As Oliver Platt. And Godzilla.
If you're talking about surprise hits for me, I think the first Godzilla movie I thought was a surprise
hit. The first Godzilla movie.
No. The first American... The first
Matthew
new American
Broderick's
remake.
Godzilla hit
the first
for you.
New American remake, not Matthew Broderick's version. The last one the guy just did.
2014's Godzilla is probably how we should refer to it, I guess.
Probably.
I thought 2014's Godzilla was like a surprise hit for me. I ended up really enjoying it, and I think I enjoyed it almost more than like a sum of its parts. It was just really enjoyable.
Yeah, I also don't understand. Pope's looking at me. What?
I think he liked it overall, but not necessarily individual things in the movie is what he's saying.
Yeah, I think overall, the movie's package comes together really well. The Godzilla moments, when they're there, are really interesting.
James, you don't need to explain yourself. Pope did. Okay. All right. Yeah, I agree. This trailer looks
excited about
fun.
This.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool monsters in this, right?
It looks like it's solving the biggest problem from the first one, which was not enough monster stuff. So now there's like, we'll just throw all the monsters in there.
Was the first movie super dark all the time? Because I felt like this trailer was super dark all the time.
It was kind of dark and contrasty.
A lot of stuff happened at night, which was really... I would have preferred some stuff in the day. But I guess I don't know if CG technology has gotten so far ahead that we can make believable monster fights in the day. But I feel like we can. I mean, I feel like we're there,
What
right?
about Pacific Rim?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I guess Pacific Rim went for a more cartoony look than Godzilla did. Godzilla tried to ground itself as much as it possibly could.
Yeah, I don't know about Godzilla. I feel like, I'm not sure where on the spectrum of realism it's supposed to fall.
Yeah.
What about Cloverfield, the original Cloverfield? Do you think that was a good, realistic-looking monster attacking?
I mean,
it was
all done from a video from like the person's handheld, point of view, the handheld, and I guess it was supposed to look kind of like crud. So, like, I don't know. I guess so, maybe, possibly.
Cloverfield seemed totally believable to me until you actually got a good look at the monster.
All right, here's a weird one, and it may be a prequel to thing. How about the Avengers? The original Avengers movie with those giant flying blimp things that were attacking New York in the Battle of New York.
That was clearly, like, I mean, it was fine. It was a comic book movie. I was okay for things to be a little cartoony. And they don't hold up as well as they did at the time today, but that's any movie, really.
I'm curious if,
I accepted
visualize.
Them as a part of New York City.
Yeah, like I was saying with Pacific City. Rim. I was all in on Pacific Rim. I was emotionally connected with everything that happened with that film, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I was, like, that. For the different style of film that the original I almost did it. The 2014 Godzilla movie did. Like, it was going somewhere that was more grounded as opposed to Pacific Rim, which was clearly just hardcore science fiction.
Interesting.
And it's not that those styles are bad or that they're somehow, like...
Yeah, no, I'm getting it. The grounded in reality would be closer to Cloverfield, except it is filmed in a, like, cinema verite, this is real quality. Then the movies that are filmed, like, film, are often... The examples we have are very cartoony.
Yeah.
Or not very cartoony.
Not very, like, cartoony, but just, they're clearly, like...
They're having more fun with it than...
Yeah.
Okay. I'm interested if this will actually be that sweet spot for you, Al. But since we already brought it up, I think it's a nice... That's a segue to one of our major players in this trailer dump. The second Avengers movie.
Fourth.
Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
That trailer has been out for a while. It broke the internet. People still saying that? Or after Ralph breaks the internet, people stopped?
I think they just stopped.
Yeah, he broke that. Mm-hmm. So what do we think? What's our roundtable about Avengers Endgame?
I'm going to put out my opinion right here, and I really don't like this trailer.
Really?
I'm really down on it because I have no idea what it's about. Like, you gave me... Stuff is happening. Well, like, Cap says some lines, and I'm like, cool. What's going on? What's the movie about?
As someone who loves the plot outline, I'm also not super into this trailer, but kind of for, like, opposite reasons. I don't honestly think if you said the, Endgame trailer was coming out and it was just that logo playing and then the date, I'd have been like, yeah. That's all you needed. Uh-huh. Right? Well, you're not... True. How many new people are you getting on board this train?
Yeah.
Right?
How many people are like, done, not interested after the last Avengers movie? And like, I don't know.
Like, I'm on the same page. I thought they didn't need a trailer for this movie. I think that would have been a great marketing coup. Because everybody was waiting with bated breath. When's the Avengers trailer going to drop? When's it going to drop? It would have been great if it just never dropped.
Or they had it before Endgame actually plays in the theater.
And the reality is, like, how do you do a trailer for a movie like this, right?
Yeah.
Right now, you can't show, I guess we all have the feeling, the idea that the heroes are going to come back at some point, so you can't show any of that,
yeah.
Right? But you're also waiting on a movie, Captain Marvel, that's coming out, and we're assuming she's going to be a big player in it, but you don't want to spoil any additional things from her movie, so she's out, right? So, like, what are you going to do other than kind of what the confusing trailer Al saw and got?
I think this trailer is also touching upon, we're entering into a new culture of people going, oh my God, this trailer is going to come out now. I got to know what's going to happen in this movie before it comes out. Because, like, I think the week
doing
after...
podcasts about trailers.
Exactly, yeah. the day after this came out, people were going, oh, stuff for episode 9 is going to come for Star Wars. And I'm like, I don't care anymore. Just when it comes out, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
So I guess I will be the voice of reason amongst you Philistines.
You can call yourself
the
that.
The trailer is perfect. It's... not really perfect. I can't even sell that. But, like, there are elements of the trailer that I think hit home for me.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, Thanos walking through the high grasses, we'll say, of his farm planet. And, you know, pages right from the comic book, the scarecrow, the Thanos scarecrow.
Yep.
So for me, that's one thing it does. It says, hey, we remember our source material in at least some ways. That's really cool. There's a head nod to some of the things that were up in the air at the end of the last movie, like the fact that Tony was stranded on a planet with maybe no spaceship. And the best part of all is now I know that the plot of the movie is Scott Lang saves the Marvel Universe. And you cannot, will not convince me otherwise.
I'm going to try and convince you otherwise.
Damn it!
I tell you what's
clearly Hawkeye.
I did not like this trailer because of what it did show us, and if not explicitly tell us, at least strongly implied, which is that this is very much a continuation of Infinity War. That the main thrust of this is going to be, at the very least, how the heroes that survived deal with the aftermath of Infinity War.
So why is this
probably
an issue?
How they try to undo it?
Why is this an issue for you? We've talked about this off mic.
I would actually be very much more excited to see a completely different story like they kind of said it was going to be, with Thanos not as the main antagonist, you know, another new threat that crops up, and that somehow the heroes that are almost certainly coming back come back as a unrelated side effect somehow to that other story.
I feel like that would be incredibly unsatisfying.
That'd be really anticlimactic to me. I'd be like, what?
I think you took the messages from Marvel Corporate about the next movie will have nothing to do with the last movie a little
too much.
It's
not Avengers 4 or 3 Part 2.
Yeah.
We swear.
But no, it was. It was absolutely. No. I don't know. That's
yeah.
Yeah. I definitely feel like I buy the idea that there could be a different villain besides Thanos, because I don't think there's anywhere left for us to go with his character. If they go up and just go beat him up again, like,
what's that's kind of my point.
Yeah, like, you know, I feel like there's room for that. I feel like whatever they're going to do, he's going to not really be involved in.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of did his thing, and if it gets undone,
I feel like it's enough to deal with the consequences of, like, for the most part, movies don't generally end with the villain winning.
Mm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, a follow-up movie to that story, it is totally reasonable to be like, no, this movie is going to be dealing with the consequences of the last movie, because we haven't had time to deal with the consequences. That stuff usually happens after, like, the kicker in the middle of a movie, at the end of the second act, where something horrible happens, you know, and then there's consequences, and you see the consequences of it. We didn't get to see that in the movie, except for people crying in the aisles. Other than that, like, we didn't see it in reality. So I think this,
I'll agree with that. I didn't want to imply that I didn't want to see them dealing with the aftermath at all, but I wanted to see, you know, them grieving, dealing with the stuff as something that supposedly this leaps forward 6 years or something like that into the future. So I would have liked to have seen, okay, acknowledgement, we have dealt with this and moved on, and we've you know, suffered horrible catastrophic losses, but now things are, there's new problems.
I'm most curious about how Scott Lang gets out, because I felt like that was going to be... So here's the thing, the least interesting thing for me in this trailer was Hawkeye reveal, because I'm not an anti-Hawkeye guy, I'm really not.
Yeah.
But it was just sort of like, oh, I guess, I don't know, like, it was weird that you weren't there in the last movie, and I can't imagine what you're doing here, but whatever. That it just had no real effect on me, despite that I think it was played for effect. What was also played for effect was Scott Lang at the end, which maybe is a little humor, but it didn't seem like it was humor. The other characters weren't reacting as if, like,
Oh, Scott.
You know? They were like, is this a message? Like, is he going to be essential in whatever plan they have to defeat Thanos? And I don't know. I feel like they could screw this up and they could make it awesome. I don't know.
There's at least two ideas I have about it. Either A, they assumed Scott was dead, and him showing up was like, oh my God, he's alive? Holy crow.
Yeah.
And like, or B, it's like, there's no one at the front door, but we're getting video feed that he is. This is weird. And like, it's this learning of the idea that when Thanos erased half the universe, he just made another universe.
Oh, interesting.
And just like, this is some weird... We're catching interference.
Yeah, that's my. How many people did we actually see die in Infinity War?
So
yeah,
we just saw them.
So
it's interesting. I don't think that's how they're going to go with it.
Yeah,
but it'd be really interesting if they did.
Right. Okay. Let's. I feel like we've exhausted Avengers once again.
As we do.
Wow, that's Avengers. That's the title of Avengers
Exhausted
5, by the way.
Yeah.
Exhausted Avengers again.
So there's two quick trailers I want to get through, just because we did go through them and have no idea what they're about. We have Captive State, which it looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's a John Goodman vehicle, and it's like an alien invasion post-apocalyptic thing of magic.
Yeah, exactly. I still have no idea what that movie's about. I want to know. I want to see it. I have no idea what is going on.
That's what a trailer is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Genre Goodman.
And I definitely clicked on it for the John Goodman, and I stayed for the No Roseanne.
No. Yeah. No, that looked really good, though. It looks really interesting. It definitely sounds like something I'm hoping is a surprise, you know, new film.
Yeah, it felt like a District 9 level,
yeah.
Like you would not have expected this sci-fi movie to be coming out right now.
I definitely get the District 9 feel about it. Like, and I think I do get some semblance of what the plot is. And it's interesting. It definitely is. And Goodman's just great in that. He's just, yeah. And like, and the other actors are too. Not to just sell Goodman as the only good part of the film. Like,
no, he's the only good man. That's why the name is that.
I do want to say that I feel like there's at least two or three other franchises with the same basic premise going on right now, or in the last couple of years.
Yeah, there was that TV show that did this too, where
the 100. Was it?
No.
James, was that one TV show we saw the second episode of?
We did see Comic-Con? We saw the second episode of like season 3 or something.
It's so ridiculous.
No, I'm talking about like there was a TV show not that far off that was about dealing with having been invaded.
Oh, Colony.
Thank you.
Colony is a USA show. Yeah.
All right.
That wasn't long ago.
Yeah, and there's a lot of young adults.
Another one too.
There's a lot of young adult sci-fi that occasionally gets made into a movie or something that's kind of out of our wheelhouse. Like, we don't pay attention to it because it comes and goes. Like, Maze Runner is probably about this, right? Does anyone know?
I don't know, but I think that's what Hunger Games turned out to be about.
It's neither of those things are true.
All right. So, but
Hunger Games was about
Harry
Potter.
More words.
I mean, are we sure it's aliens, though? Because, I mean, I feel like a high-tech end of the movie. Like, you know, there's big, mobile suit kind of robots.
Who knows?
There's big ships. Oh. Like, we don't know if they're aliens or, you know, if they're, like, a high-tech society on the other side of the world.
Definitely 100% seems like aliens to me.
Seems like aliens is what we're saying. Yeah. But, they don't say aliens or the creatures or anything
Al
like that.
Al was actually making the...
Al knows an alien when he sees one.
He was making the aliens hand gesture.
I'm actually 100% positive that it's the humans who are the aliens.
Well, that was stupid. Let's move on to The Final Wish, which was probably not related to the Wishmaster series.
But it looks a lot like it is.
No, it's actually related to the Final Destination series.
Oh, wait, what?
Yes.
Well, maybe not related, but same filmmakers.
The same career.
All I know is that at the end of the trailer, it says it was a Fathom event, which means it's not even a wide release.
A one-day single theater event.
It's a very odd... I don't know if that's true, by the way, but I think at the end of the trailer it did say that, but I think it may get a release. Okay. It's just...
Anything could.
The meanest mother in the world in this movie.
There's a lot of whisper screams like you would expect from a horror movie, but it's like it's an ADR-only horror film, but like it doesn't sync up right in the trailer we saw, so it wasn't really that...
Why do we hear ticking?
Yeah, I'm not sure why the screeching and the... Oh, and there was also like a genies, maybe? Or demons? Whatever. We know what they are called in at least two faiths, and that makes it a horror movie, and I've got nothing else to say about
Candyman's
it.
In it, so I think that's...
That is why I may have thought it was a Wishmaster sequel, because I'm like, is Candyman in Wishmaster? That doesn't make sense. Did Candyman ever meet Wishmaster? And that's where we cut to the Ken Smith opinion piece in the podcast, and that would have been tight.
You know, Full Moon was going to do that a couple of years ago.
There we go. Good enough. It's on the air. Well, that was James coughing. And now we are going into the illegal trailer. This is going to be, if there is another piece of this, like this podcast that I really want to talk about, the other part was Hellboy, the leaked trailer.
I mean, to be fair, it was supposed to come out tomorrow. This is not like a huge leak.
By the time this podcast comes up, it's like 3 days ago. All right, the leaked trailer. Hellboy, this features the guy from Stranger Things, whose name I can't remember. Damn it, that would have been helpful. Oh, man. This is why... Is it Ian McShane? Dave Harbour.
Ian McShane is in it. Ian McShane's father figure in this? Yeah, Deadwood, he's in American Gods right now. He's a great actor.
Yeah,
he's
good.
Deadwood's getting its own movie.
Yeah. It is.
I can't
see him and not think of Bad Words, though, because of Deadwood.
Of course. There's also Mila Jovovich, I assume, playing Alice, the villain in this. Is she even called Alice in the Resident Evil movies, or am I wrong about that?
No, you're right about that. It's just, she's...
I love the Resident Evil movies, shut up.
All right, fine. But
they're terrible. But I love them.
Gee whiz, Frank. Resident Evil or Underworld?
Resident
Evil.
You
can only choose one.
Oh, definitely Resident Evil. 100%. All in. There's zombie Dobermans in that for no reason. No reason. They didn't like up the ante at all. It was just there. All right, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Yes, this is nothing to do with the Hellboy trailer. I'm sorry. I was kind of excited about this for a while. I love Hellboy. I love the universe. I love the books. I love the movies. I really do love it. I did not like this trailer. And I did not like David Harbour's portrayal of Hellboy in this movie.
It's really hard to follow up Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do that.
I agree.
I'm pretty sure Mike Mignola had Ron Perlman in mind when he drew Hellboy.
Yeah.
So I...
I'm curious, what don't you... Like, what are the specific things that are bothering you
about
it?
I want to clear something out, first of all. I did not go into this saying, oh, it's hard to follow Ron Perlman. Or, like, I wasn't fanboying this in there. I actually thought, wow, he would be good for this role. Harbour would be good for this role. And then I saw it, and I'm like, I don't like the costume. I don't like the way it hangs off his body. I don't like the arm, the way... the articulation of the arm, the hair... and most of all, the prosthetics on his face. He cannot act through them the same way Ron Perlman, who has had decades of experience with prosthetic makeup acting, can. Ron Perlman was beast in Beauty and the Beast, not the Disney movie, not even before the Disney movie, that TV show. Like, he has been emoting.
He wore prosthetics in that?
He was emoting through all that for such... he's good at it. There are scenes in this trailer where, like, maybe it was released more than a day because it looked like his mouth wasn't moving. You could hear him talk, and it looked like his mouth, like, it was a bad costume.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got to call this out real quick.
Yeah.
Because Pope just looked up Ron Perlman in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
And you can tell the generation gap here because Pope is just cracking up.
Oh, because he didn't know.
Like, no, you don't understand how deadly serious Beast is and how deadly serious Beauty and the Beast is.
So think of all your favorite WB shows and their most, like,
melodrama,
teenager soap opera, and that was Beauty and the Beast.
I saw it. I just forgot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what happens.
I think one of the things that I, like, saw about this trailer, it had a lot of CG in it that looked very unpolished.
And that's not a day's worth of work on a trailer before it gets better.
And that also, they use that CG to polish up now the prosthetic work and things like that, right? Yeah. So if it's missing from the big CG set pieces, you know, what's the chance they've touched the stuff on the thing? I think for me, it was, I don't know, I guess I'm used to kind of the take for, not serious. It was serious is the wrong take, because obviously I don't think Del Toro's version and Perlman, they're serious. But there was something about the humor that, I don't know, just didn't... Yeah. I didn't love.
Yeah.
I think that's really what got me.
I think the first joke is even kind of really just kind of sets a tone that I wasn't really up for.
It's very limp. Like, oh, sorry.
Sorry,
my
I shot at you. Like,
all right. Huh.
Well, all right. I just don't think the voice goes with the character at all.
No, that I was okay with. The voice worked fine.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hellboy just screams to me, and has always screamed to me, this gravelly,
yeah,
voice. You know, like, he's got hellfire in his throat.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gargling brimstone.
I'm really disappointed. I feel like this is the one that's most off the mark for me. I feel bad about saying that. I want to be a worrywart and one of those fan. I didn't come at this as a fanboy. It could have been anything, and I could have enjoyed it. But I just looked at this, and I'm like, it's not even like, oh, you're not Ron Perlman. I'm looking at him, and I'm like, your mouth isn't moving.
Yeah. What's also weird about this one is that there's a lot of different stuff in this movie. Like, very clearly, like, those first two films dealt with very occult and very fanciful things in their own separate sort of films. This one seems to just throw whatever, because there's, like, giants and, like, elves on horseback, and then, like, weird demon things and necromancy and witches. And, like, and this feels like, this feels like you should have condensed this into dealing with more one thing at a time, as opposed to kind of all of these things at once.
It could have been too many things in the pot. That one creature walking towards the bridge and dissolving the bridge, it looked cool.
Yeah.
That's my best thing I could say. All right. I lied. There is one more trailer I do want to talk about. And I want to spend at least an hour and a half discussing this.
All right, perfect.
So, settle up. Settle up? Yeah, that's right. Pay your bills. I don't know why I said that. I want to talk about Glass. So, Glass is the latest M. Night Shyamalan movie. And it requires a legislative history of these movies. So
I think we should, you know, warn people if you haven't seen M. Night Shyamalan's movies and you really like the twists, the shocking twists.
Yeah, there's going to be spoilers. We'll do the sign-offs right now. Follow us on the social media. We're kind of worth it. All right, now that we're done that, let's talk full spoilers to this. So M. Night Shyamalan obviously hit the scene with Sixth Sense, right?
Yep.
And it also established him as a filmmaker who will make twist-ending movies. I feel like that might be unfair, like we forced that on him a little early and a little hard.
Probably. Especially since he telegraphed the twist at the very beginning.
I do like M. Night Shyamalan, and he has particularly...
In many of his films I have enjoyed.
Yeah. Yeah. And particularly in the front end of his career, he's got a lot of great films, like Unbreakable.
Right. I think his follow-up film, right?
It was his second film.
It was Unbreakable.
Yeah. Second film.
He delved into superheroes. There was a twist in that movie as well. And the fact that, you know, bad guys and good guys were sort of interchangeable. Or at least one of the guys we thought was a good guy was a bad guy. Pretty standard. Then afterwards, M. Night Shyamalan made a bunch of movies that I think progressively got more impatient with.
Yeah.
Specifically with the twists. Whether the twists weren't good, or they weren't there, or he did a bad version of the Avatar movie, whatever reason, like he started losing people.
If I can say, there's a linear degradation of his scores on Rotten Tomatoes after those two movies.
That might literally be true, but
it's
maybe
like one movie that's out of the deviation, but it like goes like slant down one movie and then Avatar.
Right. So,
Split was after that.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So then, I think it kind of bounces back.
It's kind of hard to go down from a 7 on Rotten Tomatoes.
As he starts getting like his legs underneath him again, Devil, I thought, was a pretty okay movie. He did Avatar, which was not a twist-ending kind of horror thing. So that was an outlier, but
he
was
did that,
really
the,
not
liked. Like the house movie he did with the grandparents were the technically the bad guys.
I didn't even realize that was him.
It was a very standard low-key horror movie, actually quite good.
And then he did one movie called Split that famously starred
James McAvoy
right in the middle of his like I'm being in a lot of genre films and nerds love me phase. And he played a character with split personalities that people were very angry about because that's not how split personalities work. I get it.
But to be fair, actually he doesn't have multiple personality disorder. He has as we find out, he's a very comic book science fiction thing wrong with him.
He is the most stereotypical role-playing game fictional version of that split personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where like each one has a fully established personality and also like strengths and weaknesses.
He's Legion.
Effectively. Yeah. Right. And in this movie, which was, but it looked like it was a psychological horror film, girls who are kidnapped by this crazy person who has multiple personalities, and one of the personalities might help them escape, but the other ones are trying to kill them, blah, 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 blah. Movie came out well-received, and I would say there is sort of a twist in that movie, in the first thing, where it's like, hey, this guy actually does seem to be demonstrably different. Like, it's not just he's a crazy person. He's super strong to the point where he can climb on walls and ceilings and stuff. And I think there was some weird sci-fi element of, like, he's like a bat who could climb. Like, we don't care. So that was pretty interesting. The movie was well-received. And many people were once again doing the M. Night Shyamalan thing. We're like, you have to watch the movie for the end. You have to watch the movie for the end. And if you've been burned before, sometimes that turned people off. And I don't know. I was one of those people who did not see it in theaters. I think
saw same here.
It in a plane, like, months later.
Yeah.
But the twist at the end of that movie is that after this person is there's a final girl in that movie, the one girl who survives to the end and manages to escape.
And there's some connotations about how she was able to survive and why she was able to survive. Right. And like,
and in a diner discussing the news with the news on the background of this crazy person who has been kidnapping people, etc. There is like a waitress, I think, is talking to some patron, and the patron turns out to be Bruce Willis. And it is specifically the Bruce Willis character from Unbreakable.
What a twist.
Well, beyond the robot chicken reference, it was a legitimate what? I thought that was amazing and interesting, but this movie ratchets it up again. In Glass, there is no spoiler alert for this one. In the trailer, it is a psych ward where James McAvoy's character from Split, Bruce Willis's character from Split and more obviously Unbreakable, and of course Samuel L. Jackson as Mr. Glass are in this place with like who are, they're basically going through this thing where they are crazy people who think that they are special, but instead they're just bad. Or in the case of Glass, he's smart, but he's not like a supervillain. And yes, you have, you know, dissociative disorder, but that doesn't mean you have actual people living inside you. And you're strong, Bruce Willis's character, but lots of people are strong.
And that's you've just gotten lucky, you know?
That is the premise of the movie. And I know we're not, like, we just at now started talking about the trailer, but the reason I think this is absolutely bonkers is because by strength of will alone and many millions of dollars in positive sales, M. Night Shyamalan made his own cinematic universe. That's a laugh? That's funny? I'm not just saying it for laughs.
Oh, I know.
No. The man did it. He did it. Like, that little teaser at the end of Split is like, oh, that was pretty cool. But it's nothing until, like, another movie is continuing this arc out. And he went from, here's a twist ending in a movie. Oh, you like that movie? Here's a couple more twist endings as well. These aren't landing as well. Oh, I'm being vilified and made fun of and Robot Chicken is mocking me. Well, here. This. And, you know, I think Unbreakable was a pretty damn good movie. It wasn't great. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Split wasn't great, but it was pretty good. And I don't know anything about this movie. But I'll give him credit for doing it, for landing it.
It's certainly in a landscape of where everything is an adaptation or everything is a sequel.
You like, can't make something without it being like you can't make a cartoon without it, something like the parents of the kids you're aiming it at watched it when they were kids.
Yep.
I've always liked M. Night Shyamalan. This is exciting, and what a better, you know, there isn't really a better time to revisit his superhero concept, right? He made a superhero movie back before we were pumping out superhero movies nonstop, right? So to take a good hard look at superheroes, you know, at a time where, you know, we can really deconstruct the genre. I mean, it's just, you know, there was no better time for this pitch.
Yeah.
No better time.
I'm excited about it.
I definitely feel like I don't know if I want to. I'm excited about it in theory and in concept, but part of me is like, do I actually want to go see it? Like, it's weird. I'm not in that mentality yet. I'm kind of like in this, like, oh, I want to know what happens, but do I actually want to throw down money and go waste 2 hours in a theater and go watch it? I'm like, I don't know, maybe.
Listen, 100%. Like, I can't say that it's always great or like, and there's the truth of the matter is some good stuff does come out of having like a lot of collaborative support. Right, you talk about the original Star Wars movies versus prequel movies where it's like, yes, anything you say, Mr. Lucas, right?
Yeah.
So like there could be an element of, you know, M. Night Shyamalan is the only cook in this.
I have a theory about that. If you want to return to it. I have All right, really cool.
But yeah, so it could end up being like kind of milquetoast like some of his movies have been.
Yeah.
And hopefully it isn't. But at very least, I'm going to say this was a shocker. This was really interesting.
No one was calling this.
Yeah.
No one said this was going to be a movie.
Let's revisit this pin. What's up?
I think my theory is that M. Night Shyamalan's movies get worse the more famous he got. The more people got involved with his process, the worse his movies got. Then he falls off. He starts making these smaller budget pictures, right? Less people are like, yeah, whatever, that guy's kind of washed up. We'll, you know, people go see his movies. We'll give him a small budget to work with.
From insider knowledge, what I've heard, he's actually more of a pushover even than like Tim Burton. He's
exactly.
Like very susceptible to being...
Huge pushover.
Yeah.
He will not stand his ground on anything.
I love...
Anything.
Please, anybody
I'm
who
told
knows...
he will.
So... People
please,
always...
somebody, if you know M. Night Shyamalan, have him listen to this podcast because he will be both happy and then really offended. And I want that feeling for him.
One of the reasons why I say this is obviously the Avatar movie is awful. It's really bad. But I had actually been excited for him directing the, you know, The Last Airbender movie. I own the art book, and there's a two-page foreword written by M. Night Shyamalan where he talks about the structure of the stories in the show, the importance of humor, the, you know, it...
And the fact that he thought he was signing on for those giant blue...
But, yeah, he clearly, like, I'm reading a piece written by someone who understands the material, right? And then you hear like all these behind the scenes things about executives from Nickelodeon, and people were like, well, we promised this person they'd be in the movie. Well, we promised we'd do this. Well, we promised we'd do that.
That's
right? And
so
instead of being able to say no, right? You know, he just says, okay.
Here's my one exception to that, because the film that made me throw a shoe at the screen, literally, was Lady in the Water.
Lady in the Water is the only movie I've ever walked out of.
All right. So
I hate Lady in the Water.
And that was his
baby.
His stories to his children.
Mm. I'll tell you what
there was a boom mic in a shot.
That's why I walked out.
But that was central to the point. You really don't even understand that movie, do you?
I think the big problem with Lady in the Water is he overreached. He's a huge character in Lady in the Water, right? As compared to being like this back in his older film, his other films.
Yeah, like a walk-on.
Yeah, he's a, you know, Hitchcockian walk-on, right? Maybe he's got one real scene of dialogue with the main character or something. But in Lady in the Water, he overreaches. But it's all downhill from Lady in the Water. I can't think of a good film until he kind of falls off the map and then starts coming back.
Here's what I don't understand is why would the aliens go to a planet that was like 70% covered in water?
Don't do this. I hate this.
I really don't like that.
It's dumb. Why would the aliens in War of the Worlds go to a planet with germs, right? They might not even be carbon-based life forms. We don't know if water is a part of their structure.
Well,
they don't know something exists and they don't know it hurts them, then how would they know?
Aliens. Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah, good.
Aliens.
Good answer. There you go.
So, okay.
Okay.
I like how I accept James got all that.
I actually really like Signs. I really like Signs. So
I really like science as if like
that's what I thought.
No,
like he
science.
Was
like,
well,
like
science hates you, buddy.
Like he was bragging about his aliens. Like, we don't know.
I've already thought about. You know.
Have you thought about science? That's what I thought he had said. Science.
All right, I'm done.
Yeah.
I liked it too. Swing away.
I'd say we're in a hopeful space, though, because his movie started getting better once his name was no longer part of the title of the movie.
Exactly, right? People weren't billing him as the big guy.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, and I think it was a big part of it, where, it was unfair. People just put a lot of expectations on the name alone.
Once he hit rock bottom with Airbender, everybody was like, well, it can't be worse than
that. He was making his third movie, and New York Times said the next Steven Spielberg, right? Like, it was like, what? This guy's made two movies. Calm down.
So thank you all for listening to this trailer dump that secretly became Twist Ending, a movie review podcast. Hooray! I did it! I saved Nodbro! It's a holiday miracle. I hate trailer dumps.
What fabulous twist will we put in our next podcast?
Probably nothing. It'll
Ken
just
will be there!
All right, there we go. Twist revealed.
It's the next.
This better be great now.
Whoever Steven Spielberg of podcasting is.
It could be Ken. Us. Might as well be Ken. Ken is the next Steven Spielberg of podcast. All right. He got a lot of name recognition for an episode he's not even in on. If you enjoy Ken and the rest of us Non-Productive, why don't you follow us follow?
I love like a follow.
Well, it's a like on Facebook, a follow on Tumblr. We're the only non-porn blog left.
And a couple of bucks on Patreon.
Yeah, and a couple of bucks on patreon.com/nonpro and all your favorite social medias. Hey, if you're listening to this podcast by not subscribing, why don't you subscribe to it? It doesn't matter. I don't care if you download it off our website. Hit the subscribe button on the thing you do the thing with.
It still really makes us look good.
Yeah, it does somehow. There's algorithms and whatever. And happy holidays if we don't talk to you again before the holidays are all over and we never have holidays anymore.
Mm-hmm.
As is a new rule in 2019. Mm-hmm. Dated. We could date trailer dump podcast.
We're already dated!
Yeah,
they self-date themselves.
Yeah, we're good.
Good night, everybody!
We're not done yet. I'm still talking.
Good night, everybody.
I just
want
to say good night, but I'm still talking. Good night, Pete.
Good night, Frank.
Good night, Al.
Good night, Frank.
Good night, Moon.
Good night, Pope.
I think James is dying over there.
Good night, Pope.
Guten Abend.
Yeah, all right. Knocked. And good night, James, and your lovely, raspy, sick voice.
Good night, McLeod.
If you like James's raspy, sick voice, put it $5 on the Patreon. Patreon.com/nonpro. Good night, everybody.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.